a spiritual foundation here near as much, but she's always here in her heart. She's always here in her heart. And she has seen her mother in enough care homes in my lifetime, and I haven't found one that's been just really sweet and wonderful. So I don't know when she was to do a research. Maybe it's some of the treatment that she has seen her mother have in there. I don't know. But guess what? Everybody, someday you're going to be very old. You cute little things out there, you cute little baby dolls. You're all going to be old someday, huh? Cupcake, even that little cupcake's going to be cute. Kids, think now about your old age. It comes awfully quick. And what are you going to do? And I'm not sure that's exactly the introduction to her, but I think it is. And this is my firstborn daughter, Diana.
I guess her Christmas.
Christmas? Christmas tree up here? We didn't plan it.
Billy, you forgot to mention she's the longest minister in this church.
I am the longest minister. I was two when they ordained me. So all of you know my mom, and most of you probably know that as sweet as she is and as wonderful as she is, she's also pretty bullheaded. And there have been two tasks that she assigned me in my lifetime. She said, Diana, I want you to do something about the traffic on the freeway because they keep building and building and somebody needs to stop it. So that's your job. And the second thing I want you to do, Diana, is take care of people in assisted living. They're just not treated very well. Well, I still haven't done anything about the traffic on the freeway, but I did have an opportunity. I don't know if most of you know that I'm in the master's program for a nonprofit leadership at University of San Diego, and I will be graduating, please, everybody pray, May 24th. Yay! And it just so happens that I had the opportunity to participate in a classwork that has to do with advocacy. So nonprofits are not allowed to lobby. It's against the law, but we can advocate for our positions. And when you say that to me, who is, I'm a bean counter by trade, I have no idea what that means. And the professor has written a book about it that I have. And long story short, there were a few of us in the room when we were having our assignments that had a particular calling to assisted living reform. You can imagine my hand went up, oh, I am going to fulfill my mother's dream. I'm going to do something about assisted living. Now, you have to keep in mind that there's two levels of assisted living. One is smaller group homes. Okay, smaller group homes don't fall under public health. They're really just a social service. And the regulations and their licensing kind of comes along with fire escapes and fire extinguishers and, you know, clean carpet and it smells nice. There really isn't any standard of care. So folks can get a license and they take like 20 hours or 40 hours of training and they're a licensed group home administrator and they can start taking folks in. Now, assisted living has a fantastic place in our society because we are a very quickly aging group. And right now, today, there's about 170,000 people in group homes in the state of California. There's about 8,000 group homes. And group homes can be anywhere from 6 people to 100 people. They were designed to take care of folks who really can take care of themselves. Really, they're not there to have medical treatment. They're there to have food and some shelter and a place to live, and their laundry's done and their room is kept clean. People who work there have basically no training and in elder care. This is going to be very generalized because there are also some fabulous people who really care, have spent their life learning about this, and I don't mean to take away from them. But what our research showed, and we did about 6 months of research, was that the level, the threshold to enter this business is very low, and there are some very tragic incidents that come because people don't know how to care for older people. Older people have specific issues. Their skin is thin. If they lay in bed too long, they get bed sores. That can be very serious for somebody who's in their 90s. People don't know how to transfer them from their bed to a wheelchair. They just don't have the training to be able to do that. So what happened in this class is about the time we started our research, there was a lot of interesting information that came out in the UT. And one gentleman was in the UT talking about his grandmother and what had happened to her in an assisted living. His particular assisted living was very fancy, had really nice brochures, beautiful chandeliers in the lobby, and they thought they were really giving their grandmother a wonderful place to live the rest of her days. So I'm going to show you a picture of, this is our little campaign slogan, Stand Up for Rosie. Rosie the Riveter was from World War II. So it's kind of emblematic. We thought that was kind of fun. And we actually got to meet one of the Rosies, the Riveters. And she said, you know, we just have to take care of these old people. She's 93. We just have to take care of these old people. So anyway, I'd like to introduce you to Hazel. Hazel was born in 1920. You know, she just looks like a regular middle America lady. And she married a World War II vet. They lived a really happy life. The gentleman who has been talking to us, Aaron, they had a really happy family, great big family. They really loved each other. He was a prisoner of war in Japan, and he passed ahead of her. And so as she's getting a little older, she's starting to have memory issues. She's just not capable of really doing her day-to-day life. So this is her when she's older. I usually have a PowerPoint. It's much, and I sit here and click, click, click. So anyway, Aaron is a trained medical technician. He used to be in ambulances and that kind of stuff. And they visit her all the time. It's a very involved family, which not all elder people in assisted living even have that. But this woman was very fortunate and had a really great family. And the uncle, Aaron's uncle, gets a call one day and says, you know, you might come on down and see Hazel. She's got a little bump to her head. And so, you know, it's not urgent. About 4 hours later, Aaron shows up because they all call him. He's the one who knows everything medical. And when he shows up, I don't know if you can see this, but she's far beyond a bump on the head. She's got huge contusions on her shoulder. She's lacerations in the back of her head. She's wincing in pain. She's sitting in the wheelchair where she had the accident. It's 4 hours later in a hallway. Nobody has called 911. Nobody has assessed her condition. So since he's an EMT, he immediately goes into action. And she's complaining, my leg hurts, my leg hurts. He looks at the leg. It's obviously broken. Her leg is broken. This is 4 hours later. He insists that they call the ambulance. Well, at her age, in her 90s, a spiral fracture is not a good thing. So this was the coalescing point. You know, we hear his story. You can see his pain. You know that this is a really big incident. And he happens to be, interestingly enough for our little advocacy campaign, he happens to be a lobbyist for UCSD Medical Center. So this is not somebody who doesn't understand what going to Sacramento and creating laws and so forth. He really does understand how to do that. So we coalesced around this, and all of us in this group, we're very passionate. I have been in many medical facilities with my mom, and our rule in our family is no one is in a medical facility alone ever, not for a minute. We're there 24/7. Not everybody has that. And I mean, this is whether it's ICU, whether it's outpatient, nobody is ever alone. So we kind of coalesced around this idea that there's 170,000 people right now in assisted living. And we decided that legislation really needed to be done. Okay, legislation to raise the bar. Not we need assisted living. We really do need assisted living. Our people over 85 are going to increase 30% between now and the year 2020. Imagine 30% of however many we have now, it's going to increase by 30%. This is a population that needs to be served. So what can we do as a society, as a county, as a state, what can we do to raise the bar on how these people are going to be treated? So our little group decided on four things. We thought four things would create at least the opportunity for better business and good business practice. One thing that we decided would be a good thing is that they should have insurance. Did you know that 85% of the 8,000 assisted living facilities in the state of California do not have liability insurance? You can't drive your car on the freeway, but you can take care of a person who is older without insurance. So you go in and the place may look very glossy, but they don't have insurance. That's not good business practice. Nobody that I know in business doesn't have liability insurance. It's just necessary. So we're asking the legislature to say when people renew their license, make them show you that they have liability insurance. We didn't think that was too much to ask. So how many of you have to get smog inspections on your car when you renew your registration? Do you know how many times an assisted living facility is required to be inspected? Every 5 years. Every 5 years. Isn't that shocking? Also, with skilled living facilities, they have a website. So if you're having somebody go into skilled living, this is where they're actually going to have rehab, occupational therapy, this kind of thing. You can go on a website and you can find out how many times they've been cited, you know, what remedial issues have been done. You can find out information so that you know where you're putting your loved one and have some choices. Okay, so we're asking that the legislation have a website so that there is transparency. The Department of Health has one, but the Department of Social Service does not. And this is probably the most controversial of all the things we're asking for, because they're saying, well, it's the state. It takes a really long time to do this. And I'm thinking, people are dying. How long? You know, I don't know. So anyway, I don't want to sound sarcastic. But anyway, that transparency, honestly, has been the toughest part. Now, how many of you, when you drive down the freeway, see Click It or Ticket? How much do any of you know or can you remember how much a ticket is for if you're caught without your seatbelt on? Right. How about if you're caught texting? 150, 179? How about littering?
$1,000.
$1,000. You get $1,000. If you litter, the penalty for littering is $1,000. But if you kill somebody through your abuse or neglect, the maximum fine is $150. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. So we're asking, just add a zero. Maximum, $15,000, okay? If you kill somebody or it's found that you're abusive or you neglected, up to $15,000. We don't want to put people out of business. We want them to be accountable. So we went to Sacramento, and we spent a day in Sacramento. There was a press conference, And they are having what is going to be called the RCFE Reform Act of 2014. There are 14 bills. It's bipartisan, but it's only a step. It's only a step. Even with additional oversight, even with additional fines, even with requiring insurance to be paid for and presented. And you all are welcome when you go into a facility to say, can I see a copy of your liability insurance? I mean, it should be something. If somebody comes to our house and does work, plumbing or something, you want to know that they have insurance in case they fall off a ladder. But we'll put our mother and sister and brother and grandparents and not know that there's insurance or not. So we can ask, and not that I'm promoting the UT, but they've done a lot of research. There's a lot of great information on their website that you can search, questions to ask, and that sort of thing. If they can't get... Oh.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
I know that a few years ago, criminals that had convicted offenses of abuse and neglect, just saying, I know that for a long time, these nursing homes would actually hire them without a background check.
Right.
I don't know if... today. So my question to you is, has that changed?
I can't speak to that because my research didn't involve that, but I know that that's an issue. Some of the things that I've heard is, yes, background checks are going to be very important, and that's part of the entire legislation. Yeah. Another thing is they're asking to increase the level of training, and that the training has to go on year after year. Because if you go and get your hair cut, that person has 600 hours of practical experience cutting your hair, but you can have somebody in assisted living that just walked in off the street. So this is really critical, and it's critical to all of us because we're going to be there. I mean, I have another year or two before I get there, but my gosh, it's going to fly, and I'm going to be there. And, you know, I want my mother, I want all of us to have good care. So, yeah, I think that's part of it. And I'm sorry?
We need 1,200.
1,200 hours from the expert over here. How many?
It was 1,500.
1,500 hours to cut hair. I mean, honestly, is there a comparison? I don't know. Yes.
The fingerprint clearance for, I've been a licensed administrator for 10 years for mm-hmm. assisted living communities. And now I help families with that. But the fingerprint clearance is actually a lot more severe with assisted living now. It's changed over the last 5 years. Fingerprint clearance is through the Department of Justice as well as the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more severe than others. Even if somebody has something when they think it's expunged or in their juvenile record, a facility cannot hire them. It'll show up.
Right. You can ask for an exception. But it's rare to get the exception.
It's very rare.
Right. And I actually work for a group home, but we take care of children, and we not only have to have fingerprint and clearance before they're hired, but it recurs, and especially people who have licenses like therapists and so forth, we're constantly checking to make sure there's nothing that's happened with their license. So anyway, Mom asked me to bring this and talk to you about it because really it's such an important subject, and Eleanor Roosevelt said something once that I think is very apropos for this setting, and that is, it's not fair to ask others what you wouldn't do yourself. And so when my mom's two things, traffic and assisted living, came up and I had the opportunity to jump in on this, I just felt like it was kind of a God story. You know, how would I have ever imagined that God would have led my life in a way where I would have had I'd be able to participate in this. Diane Jacobs, who is part of our County Board of Supervisors, has indicated that she's going to fully fund for elder care. The county does fund some things for elder care. And I will have a meeting with San Diego County on Friday because there's another thing called the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. And their funding has been cut back so that that is very ineffective, although I really think that's an excellent way to go because the ombudsman trains volunteers, and the volunteers actually go to make sure much more often than the state can send an inspector. So, and they actually develop relationships with people that are in long-term care. So there's two things I would like to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, and if any of you are on Facebook, there are two sites where we're trying to show support and coalition, and that's Hazel's Army. Hazel is obviously the lady who, Aaron's grandmother, and she did pass 3 days later. So it is really quite tragic. And honestly, if you really get out there and ask, their stories are abundant. It's not just Hazel. Last trip we had with Mom, when she fell and hurt her hip, I don't know if you guys heard, but we had her transported from the hospital to assisted living that's close by where I live, because I didn't have the facility to care for her at home, because there's this, you know, I needed a bed, I needed, you know, all the equipment. And when we walked in, it was 8:30 at night. All the doors and windows were closed. There were drop cloths, ladders, all kinds of stuff. People still sitting in the hallway in their wheelchairs, slumped over, and they were painting. Now, these are people with respiratory issues. Painting around them is probably not a smart thing to do. So my daughter had the, thank goodness she's cute and very young, but she had the EMTs with my mom in the hallway going, "We can't leave her here." So although I did have to leave her that one night, we did get her out. We sprung her the next day and brought her home. But anyway, so if you can like Hazel's Army on Facebook, or you can like Stand Up for Rosie. Stand Up for Rosie. Either of those two, that would be really fantastic, and you can watch our progress as we go along.
I know the gentleman that actually founded the first two child abuse laws and actually had them pass nationwide in the 80s.
Wow.
So I will get you in contact with him.
That would be awesome.
And so you can try and see how they actually ran a platform to actually get those two laws passed, because there were no laws in the early 80s, and prior to that it was only animal abuse laws that they were using.
Yeah.
And
that would be amazing. Yeah, we do have authors for our four initiatives, and there actually are 12 bills that have been put forth.
Are you going to pass in all 50 states?
Oh, in 50 states, that would be amazing.
Within a short amount of time.
Wow. Oh, I would love to talk to him.
Yeah,
thank you.
Definitely.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Okay.
When you said your mother, was she taken to the emergency room in the hospital?
Yeah, she had already been to the emergency room. I kind of tried to get her overdosed with medication because she kept complaining about pain. it was a little bit crazy. And but she's still alive, and she's still in good condition.
I just had a question. Were you guys the one who researched the assisted living center that you took her to, or was that through the hospital?
The hospital, and I had actually had friends that worked there. And so, and it was right down the street. I had gone there many, many times myself. Mm-hmm. So I really thought I was taking her to a place that was going to be safe.
Okay.
But I know a lot more now than I did now that I've researched it. And there's a lot of different organizations that are really involved in this. And really, we don't want to put anybody out of business. Really what we'd want to do is raise the bar so that we can know that people are safe.
Are nursing homes different?
Skilled nursing homes are different.
Different.
Skilled nursing homes, where you go and you're really having rehab, you're really where they have RNs and so forth on staff, fall under the Department of Public Health.
So that's different.
And it's still not perfect, but at least they have trained folks. But assisted living, especially the smaller group homes. Now, there's some that are really, really good, okay? And I don't want this to be judgment of all of them. There's some, and you can probably name the ones on one hand that you say, oh, yeah, that one. You know, some of them are really good, and they're in it because their heart's there. But I think it's time to raise the bar.
I have a question also. Okay. Have you researched or contacted the hospitals that maybe they look into contracted facilities if they even have like that liability law?
It's interesting because UCSD Medical Center, their lobbyist is working with us. And another gal that's on our team is a respiratory therapist from Sharp. So the hospitals, both of those hospital systems are very aware of what we're doing and have given us input asking not to be quoted. So, and we've also had an association that is represents assisted living groups in the state. And although they're very happy about what we're doing because we're actually advancing some of the things that they wanted to see, again, they feel that they need to have a separate voice and haven't joined the coalition. But we really all are working together to have this happen.
I work for Kaiser, so I see the case managers and social workers who do help with the elderly who don't have any family be assigned to assisted living homes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just curious if you researched if they even knew that these, you know, homes...
The caseworkers know.
Yeah, they do know.
They do know. They do know. That's a feedback we're getting.
Okay. What type of Social Security does this come out? Title 10, Title 24, Title 14?
I'm sorry? Title 22 is the group home license regulations. Medi-Cal is, if they're Medi-Cal eligible, then that might be funded somewhat. Some of them have long-term disability. But Title 22 is under the Department of Social Services. And when you read that, there's no standard of care. It really is, do you have fire escapes? And are there frayed carpets? And is it clean? I don't even know if they do clean very well.
There's more to it, regulations-wise. There's some standards that have to be done. But I applaud a lot of what you do, and I'm sure you're also aware of CAR.
Yes, I am very aware of CAR. They're part of our coalition.
Yeah, great. I love what they're doing as well. And you're absolutely right. There's always going to be some in a group that are really... And there's a lot of bad, unfortunate things that are not being done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the small groups, it's the small group homes that are really having not as well trained. And there needs to be some more reform onto that.
The experience that Aaron had was with one of the really major ones. And yeah, and so it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And training is everywhere. And one of the... accidents are always going to happen, and we have to be gracious about that. And people who are older, accidents have much more impact, but we need to care. I think at the end of the day, we need to care, and we need to know that people who are offering to take care of people who are older have that kind of heart, and they're not in it just for money, and they're really available. So that's kind of our thing. So I'm 50% there. Now if I settle the traffic, my mother is going to love me forever. And I'm so sorry, but I do have to go. I have a very big day tomorrow and lots of meetings. But thank you so much for listening and giving me your feedback. I really appreciate it because it really does allow me to really be clear in my messaging. I think it's an important message. Thanks.
Thank you. That's nice.